Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
You know, in this league, yeah, I would say he is a top five receiver. I mean, I think he's the best receiver because he's mine. He's the guy that I'm coaching. I mean, it could be anybody. Adam, I think he's the best receiver. You know, I think KJ's the best receiver because they're mine. I'm coaching them, you know, and I want them to be the best. I want them to drive, push themselves, and have that drive to be the best. So I let other people talk about who's the best and this, that, and another. We just keep putting that production on the field.
Well, that's not very objective, Keenan McCardell. I would have followed up there. Was that Gabe Henderson from Vikings Entertainment Network?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. My follow-up there would have been, are you telling me you think KJ Osborne is a better wide receiver than Devontae Adams? Huh, Keenan? Give me an honest assessment.
I mean, yeah, Keenan, Justin Jefferson is your best receiver, if not your best player on the entire team. So let's just call it like it is. All right, Keenan?
I want to see Judd work for Vikings Entertainment Network and see some of the some of these softball questions be sliders low and away, fastball up under the chin.
Coach O'Connell, great job. Yeah, fantastic. Only a 41-7 loss. Talk about the good things.
This is Daily Vikings Entertainment here on Purple Daily. And we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. It's pretty much all there is to it here. So if you ever feel like we're being a little too negative or something, just listen, we're here to push for greatness, okay? So if you're okay with the Vikings being 500 or below for 850 straight days or whatever it is, and you know, we're not okay with that. We reject 500 football here.
Yes.
On the show. Mm-hmm. We celebrate the greatness, which is what we're doing all week long here by celebrating the top 25 players in Vikings history, counting them down. This is Judd Zulgad's list that we're going to get into here, but the show is presented by our friends at Surly Brewing Company and TCL, one of the world's best-selling consumer electronics brands. They have a new lineup of award-winning TVs delivering the most entertainment with stunning resolution, all at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL and learn more at TCL.com. So we are through 25 through 11 here so far.
Yes.
As Declan pops these up on the screen for the YouTube audience. I like how the first five are the we got all caps here for the top 20, but why are the first five not all caps?
I did this on AJ did the non-caps 25 through 21, and I made the executive decision as the executive producer to not make the other ones caps, so I just started typing, and that's where we are.
Laziness is sort of the okay. Yes.
The complete lack of respect, Anthony Carter through Scotty Studwell.
No, I'm putting the. No, I did it on purpose because you didn't have Dante Culpepper between 25 through 21. So it's more of a mark, as in these should be erased, protest. And someone put Dante. That's why they're not in caps. Once they're in caps, they're locked
protest.
In. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for the audio audience, we'll count them down here: 25 Scott Studwell, 24 Steve Hutchinson, 23 Matt Burke, 22 Antoine Winfield, 21 Anthony Carter, 20, Gary Zimmerman, 19, Kevin Williams, 18, Matt Blair, 17, Robert Smith, 16, Jared Allen, 15, Joey Browner, 14, Chuck Foreman, 13, Jim Marshall, 12, Mick Tinglehoff, and number 11, Chris Dolman, just on the outside of the top 10. How much blowback did you get here the last couple days with the Mick Tinglehoffs and the Chris Dolmans? I think a lot of the blowback was more Matt Burke.
Yes.
And maybe Anthony Carter related.
Yeah, and the Carter one, I feel like the Carter one people bought into pretty quickly. Okay. The Burke one, for sure. You know what? The last 2 days, I've gotten more notes saying it's a fun list and like people suggesting things. But, you know, from the start of when I began this list, my whole thing is it's not like this is the definitive list. You might disagree. That's fantastic. So the fun thing about this is I don't feel like there's any real blowback to it. There's some disagreements, and I think ultimately with where things reside now, what's going to be fun is not the names, because I don't think the names will be controversial. It'll be where I have them. Mm-hmm. We'll actually get into disagreements potentially about where guys are ranked. You know, if a guy at 10, I'm sure some people will feel should be 7. If a guy's at 7, I'm sure some people will feel that player should be 4. So this to me has been an exercise in fun. Not an exercise in angst.
Okay. Well, I already have, on the angst side, I've got a list of snubs that I'm compiling right now.
I've got a
list. I'm not going to show them to you, but.
I got a list of snubs. I got a list of snubs.
And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. There's one name in particular I'm hopeful about. I don't know if you have the guts to do it, but we'll see.
Within the top 10. Again, I will tell you what I told you yesterday, which is we are now in rare air. We are now in the very rare air. And once we get to top five, we are going to talk about people that changed the sport, helped change the sport. So if you have like an outside guy who you're like, oh, I'm surprised he wasn't like 21, he ain't showing up in the top 10.
Okay. Well, so the Vikings, the fact that the Vikings do have multiple guys who have literally changed the sport and they still couldn't cash in with a Super Bowl is sad.
That up every day, but it
just
is.
Just saying, like this, like
I know
this list of players is so ridiculous, and I don't know. It's obvious why they're competitive on a regular basis, but man, get some of these guys a ring for God's sakes.
I know, and it probably would have changed how long several of them had to wait to get into the Hall of Fame if they just had one ring.
Yeah,
the '70s.
Yeah, don't kidding.
Absolutely. Mick Tinglehoff, probably a great example, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, we're emerging our way into the top 10 here, the 10 greatest Vikings of all time, so let's embark.
Speaking of another guy who had to wait his turn, and if he had one Super Bowl title, would not have had to. And keep in mind, too, this is a glorious mix of skill position and meat and potatoes, guys, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I did not skew at all towards, like, well, he played running back, so he has to be higher, or he played wide receiver. At number 10 on the list is a guy who is now in Canton, the first overall pick in 1968, and he played for the Vikings at right tackle from 68 to 81. It's Ron Yeary, and I have only one thing to say as far as, you know, Ron Yeary. First of all, I know it's a long time ago, but he was an outstanding player. Again, first overall pick in that draft. He was a first-team All-Pro in his career six times. So not the Pro Bowl, because the Pro Bowl,
everyone gets in.
Yippee, you made the Pro Bowl. The All-Pro teams are where it's at. And first-team All-Pro takes, you have to be absolutely, positively dominant at your position. And to do it six times is pretty ridiculous. Ron Yeary is number 10.
Some good history lessons here, because this is way before my time, Declan's time. But Ron Yeary played all but one season for the Vikings. So 1968 through 1981. And then he went and played with the Rams and played eight games in 1982. And that was a wrap for him. But because free agency, when did free agency really open up for NFL players?
Oh, Plan B. The Plan B thing started about 91. So it was a long time. So
what happened? A guy like Ron Yeary and all the, you know, Mick Tinglehoff, these guys who played 15, 20 years. You had no option, right? So the Vikings were the only team you could negotiate with?
I don't even know if there was. I don't recall before Plan B if there was even a compensation system that was close to being fair. The Vikings did have a guard in the 70s. Ed White was very, very good. The Vikings, not surprisingly, lowballed him. He demanded a trade and was traded to the Chargers. I believe the Vikings got back Ricky Young in that trade. So I think your option was to basically say, I'm not going to play for your team, trade me. But there was no option to really get out of the contract or to hit the market and sign elsewhere.
So interesting. Oh, and so yeah, these guys were just, these guys had no leverage. They weren't able to make anywhere near the money that players did 20, 30 years later. But, yeah, he played in all of the Super Bowls, I believe, unless he was injured for one. But he was the starting right tackle for all those Super Bowl teams. And if, like you said, if he gets one ring, much like all those other guys, they're all viewed on a much larger pedestal.
If they beat the Chiefs, which, to go back to that game, the Vikings' first Super Bowl appearance with Joe Capp at quarterback, I think the Vikings were something like 12-point favorites. If they win that game, it changes everything. And if I'm not mistaken, the pick that the Vikings took Yeary with in 68, the first overall pick, actually had come to the Vikings in the Tarkington trade in 67. Because the Giants were bad.
And then they got him back.
Yep. So in three of those four Super Bowls, Yeary at right tackle blocked for the quarterback who he had been actually traded for because that first pick came from New York.
All right. Ron Yeary.
Yep.
Number 10.
Ron Yeary, number 10. Mm-hmm. Number 9, the history lessons continue. Another guy who's in Canton but had to wait. safety Paul Krause.
Wow.
Who holds to this day the National Football League record, played 12 years here, the National Football League record of 81 interceptions. Paul Krause started his career in Washington. I think he had 12 picks as a rookie in Washington, but spent the majority of his career here. 81 interceptions, again, part of that legendary 70s defense. Paul Krause is number 9.
This is an NFL record that'll never be broken, right? Like, I mean, and maybe even sports. Like, it's one of those ones where I just don't think it's ever going to be broken.
Well, guys don't throw interceptions anymore, right?
Right.
This is not to take anything away from Paul Krause. So he did have 12 interceptions as a rookie in 1964.
Yep.
And then he had another double digit. He had 10 picks in 1975. He had seasons of 8, 7, 5, 6, 6, 6, 4. But you had quarterbacks just slinging the ball all over the field. Interceptions were viewed as punts, basically. So I think it's a combination of he's incredible, Hall of Fame caliber player, in an era where quarterbacks were just recklessly throwing the ball down the field. They weren't working out 12 months a year with precision accuracy camps and stuff. They were just dropping back and throwing floaters down the field. And Paul Krause was jumping in the way of some of them. You know?
Double coverage? Oh, that's fine. Let's do it. Let's try double coverage.
That's exactly
right. But yeah, Paul Krause, 81 picks. And I think Dex is right. I think this is a mark that it might be, you know, I think some guys have sniffed around it, but I don't think it gets broken.
Is it fair to say, and this is maybe a small sample size alert here, but a lot of these Vikings, like all of the 70s Vikings, I feel like, that are on this list so far, Jim Marshall and Ron Yeri, Paul Krause and Mick Tinglehoff, they all played until they were 38, basically. They played 15, 19 years.
Yeah.
Was it just more prominent for guys to play into their mid-late 30s back in the day because there wasn't as much competition athletically? Or is it just that these guys happened to be the cream of the crop and they happened to play until they were in their mid-late 30s?
I think it was probably, to be fair, a combination of things, but one of the most important things was you also, like, you didn't get paid much, and so you had to get a job in the summer. And therefore, the longer you could continue to get a paycheck, the better, right? So, like, now it's like, okay, I'm 34, I've been beat up to hell playing football, but I'm also a millionaire if I've saved my paycheck accordingly.
Yeah.
So, I think that there was a very big difference in, you know, I'm selling Coca-Cola in the summertime. I'm making money, but it's not great. Why don't I continue to play? And plus, you know what? At that time, we never thought about your brain.
Yeah, no. Those guys were all just like walking zombies by the time they were 36 years old in the National Football League.
So, oh, you're right. Forgetful. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Get back out there, kid. Here's some smelling salts. Before we continue here with number 8 on the list, got a fun event coming up here, Declan. The 3M Open is back for the summer here in a couple weeks.
That's right. Cameron Champ returning to defend his 2021 3M Open title. We got Tony Finau coming. Patrick Cantlay's coming. Over 153 of the world's best golfers coming here to TPC Twin Cities from July 18th to the 24th. Catch all the action live and be part of the golf that matters. Make the 3M Open a family affair. Kids 15 and under get in free with a paid adult ticket. And get your tickets today at 3MOpen.com/tickets. 3MOpen.com/tickets.
Also, we have a new partner this week starting on Purple Daily here. And it was fun to connect with our guy Ryan, who is one of the owners of Equity Partners. We connected with him at the Purple Daily draft party back in late April. And we've gotten to find out more about his company, which, to put it simply, they help make the selling process of your house 100% hassle-free. Think about, like, contingencies and having to time up. Okay, we're going to put our house on the market, but we want to make sure that we're moving into a place. And it all becomes kind of a pain. And they're here to take all of that away. They will partner with you, first of all, to fix up your home before you put it on the market as part of their WeHab program. From simple fixes to total remodels, they'll help you get the most value out of your home. And you can, through this partnership, move before you sell, which is one of the best things. So you can put in offers on your next home, non-contingent on the sale of yours. So if you've been thinking about selling your home and you've got some things to maybe fix up, or you're worried about the timing and contingencies. You can find out more at equitypartnersmn.com. That's equitypartnersmn.com. Number 8 on Judd's top 25 greatest Vikings list.
All right, this is going to be the only guy in the top 10 who is not in Canton. He will be someday, but he is not yet. In fact, he still might play. Who knows this year? It's no surprise. Adrian Peterson, the all-time leading rusher in Vikings franchise history, a mile with 4,929 yards. He is number 8 on my list. There is no denying, no matter what we think of him as a person, there's no denying the greatness that was AP. An absolutely punishing, dominant rusher, and easily the best Vikings running back of all time.
And unfortunately, Judd's internet is sort of Adrian Peterson on third down in pass protection right now. So actually, if you could, jump out and in or restart, I don't want to have to, grind through the rest of this list with bad Judd internet here.
I'm Chester Taylor on the third down, right? Like I got to step in here because AP can't play the third down pass protection or be the screen guy, so I can be Chester here for him.
Just coming up. Adrian, why don't you take a seat there? Take a breather. So Adrian Peterson, I had a chance to cover the Vikings from 2006 through 2010 as a beat writer and as a radio host and whatnot. I'm so conflicted on him because he is, in some ways, I think he could be higher than 8.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. When it comes to carrying the football and just you sit in the backfield, hand him the ball, and give him the ball and run forward. I don't know that anyone was better at that. I mean, you could say Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, they all three had their different styles, but he was a freight train who could run like a 4.3 40-yard dash and get separation from the fastest defensive players in the NFL. But then on the flip side, he had some big fumbles in big spots, and he was largely not used on third downs in his career, and so I think that probably dings him a little bit on this list. If he had helped the Vikings instead of fumbling a bunch of times in the NFC Championship game in 2009, if he had been the hero of that game, and if they win that game and win a Super Bowl, I think Adrian is regarded maybe even above some of the guys, like the short list of guys that are ahead of him in NFL history. So very interesting one.
I think in terms of just downhill running backs, right? Like that dude was also, I remember just being astonished by how far back he would be in like single back formation. Like that dude was like 7 to 8 yards back, ready to just get a full head of steam and run. But, to my generation, I think, because I was just starting high school or finishing eighth grade when they drafted AP. And I remember my friends were just up in arms. Brady Quinn was in that draft, and people thought the Vikings should have taken Brady Quinn because they needed a quarterback so badly. But AP, I think, represents a whole chunk of fan base of people my age that remember those teams and remember how great of a running back he was. And yeah, kind of the last true bell cow running back like that, that just literally carried the Vikings. And, the fumbles were certainly an issue, and obviously the horrible cliche. It had to be mentioned on the PR notes and the bingo card of broadcasters saying the most firm handshake in the NFL. You'd be shocked at how many times he fumbles because he's got the hardest handshake.
He broke my hand in 9 places. Yeah. Jim, back to you.
And then even mangled. Covering him, because I started covering NFL teams in 2016, so that was his last year here in Minnesota. And I never really was like starstruck starting to enter those locker rooms, because you just do kind of obviously unplug your fandom to a degree when you first start going in there. But I remember seeing AP in person and being like, that's Adrian bleeping Peterson. Like, that's a dude I grew up watching as a high school, middle school kid. Now I'm standing next to him in a locker room and just being like kind of like a little bit in awe. And this was, now at this point, past his prime, his off the field issues were certainly now a thing. But he represents, I think, a large chunk of Vikings fans that love Adrian Peterson and carried those teams to a couple division titles.
I think he's on a short list, and Randy Moss, I think, is at the top of the list of, if you were to rank Vikings players in history, of how many fans did they hook for the first time to be a diehard Vikings fan. Randy Moss hooked a bunch of people. I mean, we ask on Write That Down, I feel like, on a regular basis, we'll ask people, hey, when did you first become a Vikings fan? 98 is the most prominent answer. But I think for the next generation of fans, I think Adrian Peterson was that type of guy, too, that hooked you as a fan. Here's another crazy thing, and we can bring Judd in here and test out the internet gremlins here, but one of the crazy things about where Peterson stands right, is fifth all-time in rushing yards, 14,918. I don't know that he's going to get another crack at Barry Sanders, who is about 300 yards ahead of him. And he's not going to catch Frank Gore, who's over 1,000 yards ahead of him. So he's pretty firmly entrenched, fifth on the all-time rushing list. If he gets another sniff for a half season, maybe he climbs up over Barry Sanders. But you have to scroll down to find the next active player on this rushing yards list is Mark Ingram at 54th with 7,800 wow. yards. And then Zeke Elliott is 58th at 7,300. Derrick Henry, 6,700. Le'Veon Bell, who's completely cooked, at 6,500. I don't know that another running back is going to get to 10,000 yards in their career, the way that running backs aren't used anymore. Guys don't get the ball 300 times. I mean, Derrick Henry might. But these guys just don't get the ball as often as Adrian Peterson and the bell cows that came before him. Unless you're Frank Gore and you're somehow able to just play for 15 years, the second half of your career being sort of a part-time role player. So, I mean, Adrian Peterson has double the yardage of the next active player on the NFL's all-time rushing list. I don't think anyone's going to touch the top five guys on this list anymore.
Am I back? That's the most important question.
I think you are. I think you're back and not
back.
Okay. As long as I pass.
You are Adrian Peterson dragging the end of your career across multiple different teams.
I just won't go away. I'm Washington. I'm Detroit. I'm Tennessee. I just won't disappear. But anyway, in his prime, he was absolutely dominant and fantastic. I don't even care that his game was not complete. He was such a pleasure to watch on Sundays and such a dominant player. So he's number 8 on my list.
Yep. Number 7 here.
Number 7. And at this point in time, we are now purely going to be in a debate about positioning, in my opinion. Number 7, Hall of Fame wide receiver, Chris Carter. The Vikings' all-time leader in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Unbelievable. Picked up for $100 off waivers from Philadelphia after he had off-the-field problems. And his coach, Buddy Ryan, said, all he does is catch touchdowns. Chris Carter came here and was, I mean, my God, again, he's a guy that I personally was not a huge fan of, but as far as his ability and the sideline catches, he was doing things that are now commonplace in the '90s that a lot of guys weren't good at.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't a burner. He was just a find a place, get open. He was one of the great red zone receivers of all time. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he retire with like the second most touchdown receptions of any player in league history behind Jerry Rice?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
And then I believe other guys have since passed. Let me pull this up real quick. I'm on Football Reference. So receiving touchdowns, Jerry Rice, 197. Yeah, Chris Carter retired with 130, and then both Randy Moss and Terrell Owens wound up passing him. So he sits fourth on that all-time list.
A question I have is, was it his off-the-field issues? Because I remember my dad just loathed Chris Carter, even when he was here, just could not stand the guy. But what took him so long to get into the Hall of Fame? Like, why did it take him so long to get in?
That's a good question.
Receivers, the position.
But he was clearly one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
Dude, I know, but I mean, these guys, the guys that sit at the time, sat in the room and talked about the candidates, wide receivers, unless you were Moss or Rice, wide receivers had to pay a price of time. It might not make sense, but they did. And it wasn't just Chris. There were a few who deserved to go in who didn't, because as the rules changed, the whole dynamic changed yeah. for receivers.
All right, give us number 6 here. Rifle off number 6 as we creep closer to the top 5, Judd.
Number 6 on the list is Hall of Famer, left defensive end in all 4 Super Bowls, played for the Vikings from 64 to 78, and is a man that Phil Mackey once said, you lost all your Super Bowls, Carl Eller. Carl Eller is number 6 on the list, part of one of the great defensive lines of all time, the Purple People Eaters. You had Gary Larson, you had Eller, you had Page, you had Marshall. Carl Eller, number 6.
Yeah, Carl Eller is the first interview old Macadac ever conducted in his professional media slash journalism career.
I'm sure your old man was happy you set that up.
I was 7 or 8. I think I was 8. And yeah, my dad. So my dad worked for Hennepin County, and Carl Eller. They crossed paths in their professions, and they, you know, became friendly enough for us to go get lunch one time with Carl at the old Hubert's across from the old Metrodome. And yeah, we walk in, and again, I'm like 8 years old, but I was a sports encyclopedia for being 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And we walk in, and there's Carl Eller, man, just hulking Carl Eller. This is probably 1992, and so, you know, he's probably, what, 50 at the time, something that, late 40s or 50s. So he's still pretty put together.
Oh, yeah.
And he still is, by the way. If you see old Carl out, he's, you know, he's certainly not a blob by any means. And my dad said, "Philip, this is Carl Eller. This man played in 4 Super Bowls with the Minnesota Vikings." And I said, "Yeah, and he lost them all."
And that set you up as a Vikings fan for life.
Luckily, Carl laughed it off and didn't take that big paw and grab me by the neck and throw me out the door at Hubert's. But then he allowed me to sit down with him for we had a class project of some kind where we had to interview somebody. I don't know. And I think everyone else interviewed like their aunt, their brother, their dad, and I interviewed Carl Eller.
For class. Oh, so you got an A?
I don't even. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That's real good.
I'll find the tape at some point. He did. I remember he told my parents because, yeah, I don't want this. Let's just make this for a class project. I don't want this being like, you know, put out there on the media or anything. But I asked him a bunch of questions about his career. But, you know, it's been over 25 years now. So I think it's been 30 years. I think we can probably release that tape at some point, can't we?
And you've got it?
It's somewhere. I think it's back home at the farm. Yeah.
Oh, God. I'd love find it somewhere. That's awesome.
So, Carl. So there it is. Ron Yeary, 10. Paul Kraus, 9. Adrian Peterson, 8. Chris Carter, 7. And Carl Eller, 6.
Change the caps, too.
As we make our way. Look at you.
Oh, you didn't have to do that. Oh, I sort of liked your protest.
Yeah. You know, people were commenting that AJ would update the lower banner for every new player that Judd threw out throughout the episode.
Oh, wow.
That they liked when AJ would update the banner. Yeah, I just saw a couple. A couple comments that when the backup came in and did this thing with this route that the starter wasn't doing, that the fans appreciated that. So just want to throw it out there.
Yeah, that's got 2 quarterbacks. You don't got 1. That's fine. It's all right. We're okay.
Hey, wait. Why are you taking a shot at me? Yeah, that's a good point. You know what? I'm Team Declan here. Poor guy does enough work already.
I know. He does a lot of work. He does a lot of work. So there it is. We're on the doorstep of the top 5 greatest Vikings of all time. We can probably start to piece together who might be in that list of 5.
What you don't know is how
I can think of a couple guys for sure. Yeah.
And you can certainly debate my top 10 as far as ranking. Like, I'm sure there's some that I have just outside the top 5 that people will say, oh, that guy should be top 5 and you should knock this guy out.
Yeah. So let me think. Kirk Cousins still out there. For Dante, people wondering why Judd has snubbed Kirk Cousins to this point, it's because you're not including active players. What is this?
It's a Kirk Cousins football card.
Oh, look at that. That's nice.
From Panini last week.
Panini.
Oh, wow.
It's a graphic.
You should get that signed next time you go to a press conference.
Oh, God, yeah, I'll do that.
Hello.
Just as soon. And just right before my credentials
Could you make it out?
Right,
could you make it out to Judd from Purple Daily, please? Daily Vikings Entertainment.
Kirk, I can't stand you, but my dog Stella, she loves you. Could you make it out to Stella?
To Stella.
To Stella.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
You probably have to get a couple more Surleys in you before you approach Kirk for an autograph, I'm guessing.
First of all, I'm not going to be approaching Kirk for an autograph at any point, but I would love, you know what I would love to do? I would love to gather at the beer hall with some pizza and some delicious beers from our friends at Surly Brewing Company and sit down and break bread and have a couple furiouses with Kirk and really get to the bottom of his quarterback play. And perhaps I could say, you know, Kirk, as you're enjoying this furious, you're loosening up a lot right now, right? And so you might say, I'm going to take some more shots down the field. I'm going to have a state of mind that's going to be more positive, that's going to be less risk adverse. And you know why? Because Surly Brewing is the beer that puts everybody in the right frame of mind. No matter what you think of my list, which might make you surly in a bad way, Surly will put you in a positive state of mind. Drink responsibly, but always enjoy the summer beers from Surly. And then, of course, show us your cans.
Yeah, and that's pizza and beers in moderation, because it's possible to enjoy life and still keep the weight off, right?
And that comes from my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers. Down 40 pounds, lean, mean, fighting machine. How did you do it, Judd? If you can lose weight, I can too. If that's what you just said, you're exactly right. And now I have the plan for you. It is Livia Simple Start Plan, only $59. That's right. Any time of year, if you're looking to take off the weight, is a good time of year. And I did say $59 on the Livia Simple Start Plan. 855-GO-LIVEA, Livia.com, LIVEA.com. Inside the state or out, guess what? If you're in Florida, if you're in Vegas, if you're a Vikings fan in New York, virtual visits are possible. They will send you the food. It is as easy as can be. 40 pounds down, feeling great. Didn't take a ton of work. I'm going to be honest about it. Livia.com.
There it is. All right, boys. It's time now for the random Viking of the week. The fiercest competition every single week between Judd and Declan.
Between the competition and me competing with my internet here. Let's see what happens.
And by the way, I don't have my laptop, so I am taking notes on the screen. So I just want people to know I'm not cheating.
Why don't you
see? I got my notes. I just want people to know that if they see me typing, I'm not looking up answers.
I'm glad. Thank you for your transparency, Declan.
Dollar notebook I bought at Target this week.
What if we? Because Judd has a 26-15 lead on Declan all time. Judd, you, in fairness, Declan had four consecutive wins, and you never got pinned for, you weren't the one that got pinned last week. It was AJ who lost on Matt Asiata. So as far as I'm concerned, this is week six of Declan holding the crown here, going into week six on Random Viking. I was going to say, maybe if it gets too out of hand, though, we should have Declan be able to cheat while Judd can't, and then see if
that sounds like a terrible Declan idea. That's condescending to Declan. I don't like that. My sports son doesn't need your condescension.
Maybe Declan gets one lifeline that Judd doesn't, or something. Mm-hmm. If the blowout continues,
yeah, maybe.
So Dex is on. Dex has won four in a row going into, because he lost last week, but that's not his loss.
Yep, the last one Declan lost was Sage Rosenfeld, over a month ago.
So Dex really is upset me. So. For a month now, he has held his own. This is not a man that needs a lifeline.
Okay. So Declan's four-game winning streak included Latavius Murray, Marquise Gray, Corey Chavis, Pat Williams. We start with this clue. And by the way, I throw out clues. You guys can ask me questions if you want to. I can refuse to answer or whatnot. You get three incorrect guesses, and then you're out. You can blurt out answers whenever you want to. So here we go.
Yep.
This random Viking of the week originally hails from Natchez, Mississippi.
Mississippi.
This random Viking of the week played college football in the Big 12.
I'm a Big 12 guy.
Yeehaw. This random Viking of the week was an All-State Class 5A defensive back his senior season of high school. He was a second-round draft pick.
I gotta guess.
Wow. Okay.
It might be wrong, Declan. Don't worry about it. Is it Tyrell Johnson?
No. Okay. Although I'm making a future note for Tyrell Johnson to be a future random Viking of the week.
If I'm not mistaken, Tyrell Johnson was the Vikings' first pick in the Jared Allen draft to 2008 when they gave up. So they took him with their first pick, but it was a second-round pick, and he was a safety. So that's why I guess like a defensive back.
Yep.
All right.
I got it.
I like the guess.
I got a hint, but I want the next clue.
Okay. So this random Viking of the week played 89 games and started 72 of them.
Oh, never mind.
In his NFL career.
Wouldn't be this guy then.
This random Viking of the week won a national championship in college.
What? How many games, Phil, you said? You said 70?
89, 72 starts, 89 games.
89 games. He won a national championship in the Big 12.
He won a natty. NFL coaches include Mike Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, Leslie Frazier, and Brad Childress.
All right, I'll take a stab at it.
Oh, I love it. The aggressiveness.
Go.
Chris Cook? I don't think he's started that many games, though.
Chris Cook, who was a second-round pick, though.
And the Vikings actually...
I don't think he won a natty.
The Vikings themselves had drafted four players in the previous four drafts before this player was drafted who had also won national championships in college. So those players leading up to this draft where this player was selected, the Vikings had taken national champions Bryant McKinney in 2002, Kenechi Udeza in 2004, and Darian Scott.
Oh, yeah, Darian Scott.
And Dustin Fox. They drafted Dustin Fox in 2005. Ohio State.
Yeah, he's a...
He's a
broadcaster in Cleveland now, right?
He's another corner, but he didn't win in that.
So those guys had won... This guy played for Shanahan, Frazier, and Childress, not in that order. So obviously he played for Childress, Frazier, and then probably... And you said Mike Shanahan, right?
Yes. This random Viking of the week was coached by the legendary Mac Brown.
Cedric Griffin.
Oh.
There it is.
There it is. I wouldn't have gotten that.
Cedric Griffin. Second round pick. Kind of a forgotten cornerback, but he was a starting quarterback for the Vikings for like 6 years.
Yeah, 5 or 6 2009.
Years. Yes, he was.
2009. Yeah, once fell asleep and... while drunk in the middle of 62, I believe. Next training camp had changed his life all around. Shocking.
That's kind of a boring drive.
All about it. I wrote about it.
Cut he told you all about how he's not going to fall asleep on the freeway anymore?
He changed around. Every training camp was a guy who had changed his life.
Oh, absolutely. Some way, shape, best shape of your life, change your life
every
forever.
Every year I wrote it like the sap I was, and if you people wonder why I'm so pessimistic about humans now, this is why.
Yeah, well, you got to write it in training camp, and then, you know. Because that's kind of when you got to make up stories like that. Anyway.
You are now in the area, Phil, of all of those like early cornerback draft picks or defensive back draft picks who
failed
weren't
first
rounders, but the Marcus McCauley's, the Asher Allen's, Cedric was okay. Declan's right. Chris Cook. In fact, I believe Chris Cook's another year where they didn't have a first round pick, and he might have been the first pick the Vikings took second round that year.
Yeah, that was bad. That was a bad one.
But they were Marcus McCauley's dad at training camp.
Oh my gosh.
He's really not as good as you think he is, Mr. McCauley. I think you were with me for that one.
Yes, I do remember. I was very high on him. He picked off like three passes in one of his first practices or something. Oh, look at this guy.
Chris
He's
Cook
a gambler.
Was...
He's going to take some chances, pick off Chris, some passes.
Chris Cook in like his second year in a training camp practice picked off three passes, and Chip and I were like, we got to write a big story about this. This is unbelievable.
Were the only three passes he would ever pick
and
off.
And didn't he have one game where he just like shut down Megatron as in like limited him to four catches for 70 yards? Like, I think there's one game against the Lions where he quote unquote shut down Calvin Johnson, and everyone was riding high on the Kool-Aid there too.
I don't remember that one, but maybe we should do a rewind episode about the one
Cook.
Game Chris Cook had. Nice job.
Get chilly on.
Amazing. All right. Hey, a quick shout out to our friends at Federated Insurance. So in addition to helping business owners for over 100 years, they have been partners with Big Brothers Big Sister since 2005. And through the Federated Challenge, they've helped raise $44 million for Big Brothers Big Sisters, which provides one-to-one relationships, mentoring relationships for children facing adversity. So Big Brothers Big Sisters across the country, serves 135,000 children nationwide, 5,000 of those in Minnesota. So if you want to get in and help out, maybe you want to become a big, you can find out more information at federatedchallenge.org. Federatedchallenge.org. Tomorrow, we finish off the top five greatest Vikings of all time, according to Judd. I don't know. We're going to have to do snubs at some point. Maybe we do that for Saturday's episode. Maybe we save it for early next week. I also might put together a list of the most underrated, underappreciated Vikings of all time.
Keep them coming.
These lists are fun, man. People are sending us their lists and stuff.
It's a great time.
It's list season, baby.
It is.
Let's get it. All right, that's a wrap.
List season.
Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.